We'd like to begin Perek Notel, the 21st Perek of Shabbos. And this Perek is dedicated to the Iser Muktzah. The Chachamim said that you're not allowed to be metaltel on Shabbos, something which is Muktzah. And does Muktzah apply in Tiltul, what's called Agav Dover She'eno Muktzah? And Dover Roy Lamachal Behema, is it considered Muktzah? The Mishnah says, Notel Odames Bino via Evan Biyado. So he's taking his son, which is Agav, he's taking Muktzah. He's not directly moving the Muktzah. He's Notel Dover She'eno Muktzah. But with it, he's being Metaltel Muktzah. And perhaps the issue hinges on how you define the Iser Tiltul. Is it the act of Tiltul, which is direct, or is it Din in the Chefza, that the Chefza is Mituldal? And the Mishnah allows this, Va'evin b'yado shel b'no. And the same applies, Notel Kalkola, he can pick up a basket, Va'evin b'socha. And the stone is inside of it. That's even a bigger chiddush. I mean, in the case of Beno, okay, the Ben is carrying the stone, but in the case of the Sal, I mean, you can't say the Sal is carrying the stone. He's carrying the stone by picking up the Sal. That's how we always carry things. We put them into a receptacle. And umetaltalin, you're allowed to be metaltal, truma tmeya im tahora. So it seems that you have a mixture of truma tmei, which is muktzah, because there's no heter achila, you have to burn it, and together with truma tahora, which is not muktzah, im hachulin. Now, we have to put the vav here, vi im hachulin, and emphasize it because it sets up a separate case in the Mishnah that you're allowed to be metaltil truma Tmeya with Truma Tahora or with Peros Chulin. Now, the Tana really has three different cases here or scenarios of a Heter. We have Ben Ve'Evin B'Yoda, we have Kalkola Ve'Evin B'Toch, we have Truma Tmeya in Truma Tahora or with Chulin. And the Gemara later on is going to deal with the three different cases and the three different Heterim. And let's keep in mind that all these heterim are conditioned on the fact that it's Litzorech Shabbos. He's not allowed to do anything that's Litzorech Chol. Now it's interesting that he starts the Mishnah off with the word Notel, and then he goes on to Metaltalin. Notel is Lashon Yochid. When he gets to the third case of Truma Tmeya, he uses the Rabbin form of Metaltalin. He wants to teach us that even if he doesn't get any benefit from the Truma Tahora, like for example, if he's a Zar, he's not allowed to eat the Truma Tahora, but nevertheless, he can still be metaltel it, and in essence, it could be a help for a Kohen who is allowed to eat the Truma Tahora, so that it's not Muksa because it's Re'uyah Kohen. We have similar Mishnayos with regard to Erev Tchumen, that a Zar is allowed to establish an Erev Tchumen with Truma because it's Re'uya LeKohen. So since it's a relationship between the Yisrael, who's a Zar, and the Kohen, he's allowed to eat the Truma, therefore he uses the word Notlin to indicate that relationship in a plural form. Now, what happens in a case of a taroves, a mixture of truma and chulin, in a way that there's no bitul berov? So the entire taroves is also to a zar like truma. But if there's chulin in a ratio of 100 chulin against the truma, so let's say, for example, you have a saw of truma and 100 saw of chulin that get mixed up, then he's allowed to take a saw from this taroves, which is the shear of truma shenis arva, he gives it to the kohen as truma. The rest, the remainder, the balance is mutul zar, like any chulin. So now our Mishnah deals with the case whether you're allowed to do this on Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af malim es hameduma bi echad umea. And that means that if you have truma mixed up with chulin, you're allowed to activate the principle of bittul and take out the sheer truma that fell in to this taroves, and to be matedly balanced to a zar. And that requires a ratio of 1 to 100. The chulin is 100 times the truma. Now you might say, well, this should be also because of metaken. He's really fixing up the balance of the truma, which as long as it's mixed up, the balance of the taroves, which as long as it's mixed up with truma will be asur. So in effect he's being matir. Like we're going to have cases of tefillah, when you take a keli and you matir through tefillah, that's asur because of tikkun. And here, it's not called a tikkun. And if not for Rabbi Yehuda, then one could have ostensibly argued that even if this is not called a tikkun, we should have instituted a gzera that he might come to do a tikkun and violate a malacha, and make some sort of comparison, analogy between one tikkun and another. But no, the Gemara is going to explain why this is mutter. Now, the case that we're going to talk about in the Gemara is a child, an infant, is found in Rishus HaRabim, and he has a pocketbook that is hanging around his neck. And if you find this tinok in Rishus HaRabim, is there a malach of hotzah, marava hotzi tinok chai? So he carries this tinok from, let's say, Rishus HaYoch to Rishus HaRabim. The tinok is alive, a kiss, toli v'tzavaro. So he has this pocketbook that is hanging as a peg around his neck. And chayef, mishum, hotzah sakis. That's in the case where the child is alive. However, tinok mes, if he carries out the dead body of a baby from Rishus HaYoch to Rishus HaRabim, v'kis tolibo b'tzavaro, potur. And the question is, what's the difference between the two? Now, when we say we're potur, Rashi points out that he's potur both on the kiss, the hotzos ha-kiss, and the hotzos ha-tinok itself. So tinok chai, the Gemara says, kis tolibo lo b'tzavaro, is chayev mishum kis. Why is he chayev mishum kis? L'chayev nami mishum tinok. And the only way out here is to activate the Prince Rabbi Nosson. Rava ki Rabbi Nosson svirle di omar, we have this back on Sadi Dalet, that chay nose es atzmo. So therefore he's not chayev for the hotzos ha-tinok, because the tinok is nosei es atzmo. He's a live being and he carries himself. And it could be that in the case of a tinok, as the Ritva points out, even the Chachom Rav Nosson would agree that he's part of because Hachai nosei es atzmo. The machlokes, back on Tzadi Dalet, between the Chachomim and Rav Nosson is about an animal that seems to resist being carried, so that's not chai nosi es atzmo koi to chachamim. And when the Gemara here says Rava ki Rabbi Nosson, it means to the fundamental principle, the svara of chai nosi es atzmo. But in this case, says the Ritva, everybody, even the chacham, would agree to Rabbi Nosson. So now the Gemara says, if he's potter on the tinok, because chai nosi es atzmo, li potter a kiss legavi atinok, he should be potter even for carrying the kiss. Right, because the ikar here is the child, the tofel is insignificant relative to the child, and that's the kiss. So why is he chayfotza on the kiss? And the Gemara is going to prove now this principle of bittul. Milo tnan, we had a Mishnah back on Daf Tzadi Gimel Amid Beis, hamotzi es hachai b'mita, if he's carrying a live person in a bed, Potter af ala mita mnei shamita tfeilolo. So it means that he's only using the mita as a way of carrying out the person who's lying in the mita. and therefore he's not going to be chayev for carrying the mita. It's tafel. And for that matter, any time that you carry something in a utensil and you want to get the object, the contents of this receptacle relocated, you're not chayev on the kli. It's batel, it's tafel. So where he answers, don't prove anything from the case of a chay b'mita, that mishnah, and don't equate it with the case of tinok v'kispit tzavar. Why? Mita l'gavi chay mivatlile. Certainly a person would not consider a bed, a physical utensil like a bed to be anything of significance in comparison to a chai, to a live human being. I mean, he needs the mita only lishtamish, only as a secondary way of transporting the person who's on the mita. So that's called tofel, and he's potter for that otzah. But in the case of kis l'gavi tinok, if a person is carrying both a tinok and a kis, lo mevatli le, a person is not considered that it's batel compared to the tinok, because it's not that the tinok needs the kiss so much, such that the kiss now becomes a secondary item, like in the case of the mita that's being used to transport the chai. But again, it could be that the reason why the kiss is around the neck of the child is because the child plays with what's inside the kiss. It might be a toy for him, but it's certainly not shimush in the classic sense of shimush, and therefore we don't apply the principle of bittul. But let's go on to the next part of Rava. Tinok mes v'kis tolilo b'tzavaro. Now the baby's gone, and Rava says he's potter. I mean, why isn't he chayev here? L'chayev mishum tinok. Again, you might say he's potter for the kiss, because in some sense the kiss is tofel, although that has to be understood. But nevertheless, on the tinok for sure he should be chayev. Rava Rav Shimon Svirle Diyama Kol Malacha She'ena Tzricha Legufa Potter Ale. And here, when he's carrying out the body of the tinok, he doesn't need the otzah itself. He doesn't need to relocate the tinok. He's only taking the tinok out of his house. He wants the corpse out of his house. He doesn't need to relocate it outside the house. He just needs to take it out of the house. You know, it's his malacha is being done not in the makom to which he's taking the baby, but rather in the bias itself. And that makes it a malacha siluk, and that is a malacha she'ena tzricha legufa. Now the Gemara goes back to the beginning of Rava's statement that a motzi tinok chai, the kiss toli bi tzavaro chai mishum otzos hakiss. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, what about our Mishnah? Tanan, no tel odem es bino va'even biyado. No, it's not considered tiltum mukta, even though the child is holding an even and inevitably he's moving the even. But we see clearly that his action of tiltal is on the ben, who's not mukta. If we apply that reasoning, that logic, to the case of someone who's carrying a tinok as a kiss bitzavoro, how can you say, Rava, that he's chayav for carrying the kiss when he's really carrying just the son? And then we apply the principle of hachay nosias atzma. Why is he chayav for otzos hakiss? The Gemara answers, Amri debei Rabbi Yanai. We have an answer from the base medrash of Rabbi Yanai that when he takes the tinok in his hands and he's being metaltel that which is biyad tinok, so that even with regard to muktzah, you're not allowed to be metaltel the case of Evan biyado. And we don't consider the tiltu to be only on the baby, but it's also on the even. The Mishnah allows it. Betidok sheyeshlo giguin al aviv. I mean, here we're talking about a very unusual case of sakana, although it's not a physical sakana, but it's a psychological sakana, which is no less significant. And if he doesn't take the child biyado, the child will get very ill. He's depressed about the fact that he has been separated. He's looking for his father. And if you're taking the child and you're not picking up the muktzah, then even though this sakana is not a full-fledged sakana, again, if it was a full-fledged sakana, we would apply the principle of the chaybohem, and then for sure he'd be allowed to do whatever he has to do. Here we're only allowing him to be metalta because he's not doing a direct act of tilt on the oven biyado, and that secondary or indirect tilt would be osur if it wasn't some, if there wasn't some element of sakana. And in the case of itzavon, in the case of gaguim tinok sheisho gaguim al ovi, there's enough of a level of itzavon of etzev to justify and permit doing an act of tiltul, which is not a full-fledged tiltul. So now, if the Mishnah is talking about a case of a tinok sheyeslo gaguim, the Gemara asks, "Ihochi?" If that be the case, they were matir tiltul the even biyado, even though the father is considered being metaltul the even. So again, if not for gaguim, we would consider it as if he's being metal to the oven. Here we can take a look at Kuf Mem Beis Amud Aleph. Is therefore the Gemara says, "My iria even biyado." Why is the Mishnah Dafka tell us the case where the stone is in the hands? Hello. Afterwards, after all, afilu dinar nami. Even if the child was holding on to a coin, we could be matir this tiltul. And if you're going to tell me that the Mishnah mentions the case of Evan Biyado, and it really means, or Huadin, it could also mean Dinar Biyado, and it'd be Mutul Tata, Lama Amar Elva, Rava made a statement qualifying our Mishnah, Lo Shanu, the din of our Mishnah is allowed to carry his son with the Evan, is Ella B. Evan, Aval Dinar Asur. And the Gemara seems to understand Rava's distinction, but the Gemara can't reconcile that with the interpretation that we suggested in our Mishnah. And that is that if we're talking about a case of gaguim, of itzavon, then Rava would have allowed even if it was dinar biyodo. Why does Rava assume and insist that it's only evan biyodo but not dinar biyodo? And the Gemara answers, here's the distinction between Evan and Dinar. Evan has no worth at all. Inaflala. If it'll fall from the hands of the child, lo osi avua lisuye, the father is going to let it go. He's not going to take it by hand because it's worthless. Aval Dinar, it has a worth to it. Inafel. If it would fall, if the child, the infant would drop the Evan, osi avua lasuye, we have to be choshesh that maybe because it's a valuable dinar, a coin of significant worth, he might come to carry it in his hands, and that's tiltul muktzah biyadayim. And by the way, this would apply in a chatzir, it's not even a rishus harabim, so we don't have to worry about otzah at this particular point, but let's say we have to worry about tiltul muktzah. Now, if it would have been sakonis nefashis mamish, then it would have been mutter, even in the case of dinar. But since we're talking about a case where there's no sakonis nefashos, again, the child might, you know, fall ill as a result of this psychological state of separation from his father, but we can bring him back to health, so his life is not in danger. Therefore, we're going to allow, in the case of the Evan, where there's no chash of tiltul muktzah, in other words, even if the Evan falls from the hands of the child, we're not suspicious that maybe the father is going to carry the Evan. And for the sake of this element of sakana, we'll call it mixa sakana, we're going to allow the carrying of the Evan, again, indirect. But if the child is carrying a dinar, and we have to be afraid that maybe it'll come to the point to which the child drops the dinar, then the father will violate the isur tiltul muktzah, and that'll be tiltul biyadayim. For that, the sakana of being separated from his father, which again in the language of the Gemara on Amud Beis, the previous one is yeshlo gaguim al aviv, right? The father is rushing to get to his son, because his son might be depressed about this. So that's a choli of a nature of choli. It's not a choli at the level of sakonas nefesh. And here we're going to make this distinction that we made between Evan Biyado and Dina Biyado because of the chash of tiltul muktz in the case of Dina Biyado. Tanya Kavose de Rava, we have a brisa to support Rava when he's carrying out this child who's alive, and there is a kiss that is hanging from the child around the child's neck. He's Michayef Otsos HaKiss. And here's the language of the brisa. Motzi Kalev, he's carrying his Kalim or his Begadim from Rishus HaYoch to Rishus HaRabim, and they are Mikupolim. They are folded up, umunachem al ksefo, and he wraps it over, you know, he swirls it over his shoulder. Now that's not considered derech malbush, and therefore it's derech masa, and he's going to be chayev. Another case, v'chein, he's carrying out his sandolim, v'taba'osov biyodo. In other words, he's not wearing the sandolim, he's not wearing the rings, but rather, he's holding it in his fist, in his hand. So that's not derech malbush, and therefore he is chayav. I mean, the question we have to ask here is exactly what the chidush here is. It seems almost obvious that if he's carrying jewels or begadim, or in this case, shoes he's carrying in his hands, I mean, that's for sure carrying, I don't know, chayev achatos. Now, it could be that there's a lozu afsu here in this Tana, in this Baisa, and each case has a greater chiddush than the previous one. First, he tells you about begadim kupolim, which I mean, munachem al ksefo, that's for sure not derech malbush. Then he gets to the second case where we're talking about carrying it shelo keder chotza. And why is this called shelo keder chotza? Because of the object itself, meaning the object itself, in this case shoes, is not carried in his hands. It's worn on his feet. So carrying it in his hands is a little bit of a change. But the answer is that the second case, the second scenario, the Brice is coming to Chedesh, that anything you take in your hands is called Derech Otsah. Then he gets to the case of Tavos Biyodo. We could have said that since you usually wear them on your fingers, even when he grabs them in his hands, that's also Derech Malvush. It's close to wearing a ring. So the Tata wants to tell us that since it's not on his ring, it's not the Derech Malvush, and if he's Chayvan Otsah. The im, now the Brisa qualifies, says, Hayim Alubash Ben, if he's wearing any of those, and he's carrying them derech malbush potu, because it's always considered tofel lo. Hamotzi, if he takes from Rishus HaRabim, Odom, the Kalev Olav, he's carrying a man from Rishus HaRabim, and the man is wearing begadim. Let's talk about the outer garments. Olav kederech malbush, or sandol baraglov, he's wearing shoes v'tabosov biyodov. So he's wearing his rings around his finger. Is potter. What does that mean, potter? So if you take a look here, he says, potter atachton alo tzazu. So with regard to the Adam, he's potter because achaynos is atzmo. With regard to the malbush of the Elyon, meaning that which is being carried, he's potter because that's tofel to the Adam. Again, you know, the derech malbush is only relative to the person who's wearing it, but to the relative vis-a-vis the person who's carrying it, we're going to have to introduce another concept which is called tofel. That whatever begadim, etc., etc., the person who's being carried is lifted, is wearing, those are considered tofel to the person. Ve'ilu hotzion kimot shehem, if let's say he would grab on I'm talking about, let's say the person would grab onto his malbush biyodo, so that's shaloka derech malbush. And now the tachton, the one who's carrying him, is carrying him with malbush, which is being carried by hand of the elyon, is chayef. The tachton who's carrying him is chayef otzos malbushav, even though hachay nosi es atzmo, but now the malbushim are no longer considered tfeilim lo, because he's not carrying it derech mal, he's not wearing it the way it would normally be worn. And that's an exact analogy to the case of Rava, of Motzi Tinok v'kis bitzavaro, that he's chayev for carrying the kiss. So as far as the child is concerned, he's not chayev. And that's because hachay nosi es atzmo. You might say, well, he's not chayev for the kiss because the kiss is tofel, but the answer is, this kiss is not tofel. And therefore it's as if this man who was carrying the Tinok was Motzi es hakiss, he's carrying the kiss, and he's chayev. A beautiful proof from this b'risa to support Rava. Now the Mishnah says, "No to adam kalkola ve'evin munachas b'socha." He's carrying a basket, and he's got a stone inside the basket, and he's not violating the isur tiltul of muktzah, even though clearly the stone is muktzah v'amai. What's the heter here to be metaltil the sal? Even though it's true that he's allowed to be metaltel the even shebesocha tiltol shalobia die, maybe you'd say that as far as the even is concerned, he only indirectly moves it. The old tiltol min atzad lo shmei tiltol. But what about the basket itself? Now, a basket normally under normal circumstances would not be considered muksa, but here in our case, tehevi kalkola bosis l'davar aser. The sal is holding on to the oven, and that should give it the status of a bosses. It's bottled to the oven, and therefore it's muktzah. And he's directly carrying the sal, the kalkola. And the oven is also betiltul. Now the kalkola, if so fact, becomes also betiltul, kimosa, because of the din of bosses. So the sal, therefore, which he's directly carrying via Dayim, should be Mukta. Moransis Omarabba Barbachono Omarab Yochanan, the sal that has an Evan inside of it is also Batiltal. But Hocha, in this case, in Amish that allows you to be Metalta, the sal, that's a Kalkola Malay of Paris Askina. It's not that the only thing that's in the basket is an Evan, which would make the basket into a bosses. But rather, we're talking about an Evan together with Peros. So this receptacle, this Kalkola, we called it a Sal. This basket has in it two things. It has Mukta, and it has something that's not Mukta. Now, in such a case, we have to determine which is Ikar and which is Tuf, which is Choshim, which is not Choshim. Well, certainly, the Peros are Choshuvim vis-a-vis the Evan. The Evan is worthless. And therefore, the Sal, since it's Meshamish the Ikar, and the Ikar here is the Peros, rather than the Evan, which is Tofel, therefore the Sal does not have the status of a Bosis Lemukta. Now the Gemara asks, why is it Mutav Yitaltil, the Evan Agav, the Sal, and the Peros, and Velishdinu Lepere, Vinishte Le'Evan, Vinin kintu biyada biyadayit? Wouldn't it be more of an Eitzah Tova, instead of being metal to the Evan, just throw out the Peros and the Evan from the Sal, and then he could take the Peros, pick it up from the ground, put it back in the Sal? I mean, all he's interested in at the end of the day is being metal to the Peros. So he could be metaltil the sal with the peros and without the evan. And therefore, why are you being mate? Why are you being so relaxed and allowing him to be metaltil to carry the evan agav the sal and the peros when he has a very simple eitzah? And the Gemara answers, Eino chinami, you're right. that you're not allowed to be metal to the Evan Agav, the Sal, and the Peros, but our Mishnah is Kidrav Eloi Omar Rav, the Peros Ha Mitanfin. Okay, these are Peros that are overcooked, so to speak, and they're very soft Peros. Let's say, for example, he takes figs, or for that matter, grapes, or strawberries, and they're very soft, very fragile. So if he throws them onto the ground, they're going to get dirty, he'll lose them. It's hachinami, also in the case of the sal of the peiros with the evan, we could say that it's peiros hametanfim, which means they're fully ripened and very soft, and if he throws them onto the ground, they're going to be soiled, and he'll lose them. So therefore they would matter him to be metal to the evan, agav, the sal, and the peiros. Meaning that the option that he would have had is a non-starter. The Gemara says, wait a minute, even if the peros will be metanfim, if he throws them out on the ground, he still can find an eitzah and circumvent the necessity, avoid the necessity of being metal to the oven. Linarinu naore. Why doesn't he just shake out the basket in such a way that the peiros would go separated, because you separate for the oven, and it'll go on one side of the sal? Is there no possibility they could tip the sal in such a way that the peiros will fall down to one side of the sal, and then once he does so, let him shake the sal in a way that from the other side, and the oven will fall out? So again, since he has the option of doing this without being metal to the oven, why not prohibit him from being metal to the oven? Om Rav Chiya Bar Ashiya Marava. Enochinami, you're right, from this reasoning, it would be also metal to the oven, agav, sal, peiros, b'hocha. Here, in the case of our Mishnah, it's b'kal kol p'chusa. It means that the sal itself, this basket, has holes in it, either on its sides, or maybe on the underneath, the bottom. That's the case. The Evan Gufa Nase's Dofen Lekalkola. Now, what he means here is that the only way that the Peros will remain within the Sal and he won't fall through the holes on the Sal is because of the Evan. So it wasn't just coincidental that there's an Evan inside the Sal. It's really so same Es Hanekev. It's blocking the hole, making it impossible for the fruits to fall through the hole. And if he's going to figure out a way of chucking the Evan out of the basket, he won't be able to carry the peiros because they're going to fall through the holes. The Mishnah says, metaltel in truma. If you have truma that became tomei, then it becomes mukta. But if you have a combination of truma tomei with truma tahora, since the truma tahora is not mukta, he's allowed to be metaltel in Omrav Chizda. Lo shanu. When are you allowed to be metaltel the truma tmei with the truma tahora? Ella, only in the case of sheh hatahora munachas lemata v'atmei lemala. The truma tahora is on the bottom of your utensil, and the truma tmei is on top. He needs the tahora, and when he comes to take the tahora, he cannot get access to the tahora because on top of it he has the tmei. And he's not allowed to move the tmei be a dime directly because that's mukta. Therefore, he's allowed to be metal to the kli with both of them inside till he gets to the table, and then he throws it all out. And he scatters it out, and he takes the truma tahora. Avol, but in the case where the truma tahora is lamala and the truma tmei is lamata, so the truma tmei is now on the bottom of the kli. Is then he has a simple option here. We're not going to allow him to carry both the tomato on the bottom and the truma on top, the Torah on top, inside the basket, but rather, shokile le Torah v'shavikle le tomato, let him take out the truma Torah, which is on the top. He doesn't have to have any direct contact with the tomato, which is on the bottom. And since he has the option of doing so, they're not going to be matted to be metaltel the tomato together with the Torah, agav the Torah. So the Gemara asks the Kasha Rav Chizda, the af ki ki mini kasher, tahora, munachas lemato, it's on the bottom of the kli. Nami, why are you allowing him to be metal to the tmeya? When the tmeya is on top, lish dinu, why doesn't he spill out everything on the ground? Vilin kitinu, and let him just collect from the ground the truma tmeya. And you might want to ask, I mean, we're going to have a pretty similar answer that we had before, but you could ask at this point, maybe by throwing out the truma, pouring out, so to speak, and being mashal the truma tmeya, he is violating the kedushas truma. But I guess the Gemara holds right now that truma tmeya doesn't have the same level of kedusha. Amravi loy amarav, and this is what we saw before. The reason why it's also being talked to the tmeya agav the tahora, when the tahora is lamata. And if, right, if the Truma Tahora is on the bottom, so you're asking, well, why not just pour out the Truma Tmei on top? Why are you allowing it to move it? The answer is, we're talking about cooked fruits that are soft, like we said before, figs and strawberries or grapes, whatever they might be. And if he throws them onto the ground, they'll become mitunafos, and that's not a good thing. So it's really interesting, because my havmin is really the Gemara's maskana. In other words, even with regard to truma tmeya, he'll be mafsid the truma tmeya if he throws it onto the ground. Correct? So where's the Truma Tmeya? It's on top. The Truma Torah is on the bottom. And yet the Gemara is worried about Tinuf and Hefseid. What exactly is the Hefseid here when you have a mitzvah Sreifa in Truma Tmeya? So let me just read to you the note over here. Oh, he's asking a slightly different kash, but let's see if it helps us. He says, "Yesh la'akshos im v'dubar v'peres hamitanfim, madua b'tahor l'malo, osu l'taltel ima es hatmea." So we said that if the Truma Torah is on top, then he can just, so it's eino yachol litlom b'yado, mikevin shem alulim lipol, La'aretz, really posed. Right? So, even if the Truma Tahora is on top, why should be also to be metaltel the Tmeya Agav, the Tahora, since he can't take the Eino Yochel Litlom B'yado. What does he mean, litlom biyod? Just one second. Litlom biyodo, he's referring to the Truma Tahora, which is on top in this case, and we're saying that he's not allowed to be metaltil the Truma Tmeo that's underneath it, right? Agav, because if he pours out the Truma Tahora, then he's okay. But how could he do so if it's peros mitanfin? He doesn't have the option of pouring out the truma tahora, because it'll fall on the ground and he'll be mafsid then. This is a kasha which the Rashba is trying to deal with. Also Tosis Shonim, the Yeshlomar, Shekam Medubar Biofen Shatrumos Munochos besalim ktanim. So it's not just one large basket, but there are small salim inside this larger basket. And all the truma is in one particular smaller basket. And therefore, in the case where the tahor is lamala, yachalitla besal shalah, so there's a smaller basket inside this larger kli, so you can take out the truma tahor that's on top, without being mafsid the peros. Now, in the case where the Tmei is Lamala, he's not allowed to remove the Truma Tmei on top because he's touching and moving, directly moving the Muktza. So that option doesn't exist. Now, if he's going to shake up both Trumos and they'll spill out of the Salim into the Arts, they'll be Mafsit. Because apparently these Salim, the smaller baskets in the larger basket, are open. Now, if the Trumos are not set up in that way, then he says, Afsha Tahor Lamala, Mutul Italtala Ima Satmeya. So, if not for the fact that he, you know, he has the option of taking out the Truma Tahor Lamala because it's in Salim in smaller baskets, then he would be allowed to be Metaltal the Truma Tmei on the bottom, Agav the Truma Tahor on the top, because he has no option of spilling out the Truma Tahor on top. And that's because it's Peros Mitunafin. So we have now a Kasha on Rav Chisda. Let's just go over the Kasha on Rav Chisda one more time. The Brisa says, Metaltal in Truma Tmeya Ima Tahora V'yimachulin Bein Tahor Lamalo Bein Tmeya Lamalo Tahor Lamata. That's against Rav Chisda, who says that it's also the Metaltal the Truma Tmeya when the Tahora is Lamala. But if the Tahor is Lamata, then it's Mutter. Amalcha Rav Chisda could interpret our Mishnah and the Braisa. It's not the same exact situation. They're two different scenarios. Masnisen is talking about Metaltal Tzor Gufo. In other words, he needs the Truma Tahora in order to eat the Truma Tahora. And in such a case, if the Truma Tahora is on top, they're not going to be matir moving the Truma Tmeya with it, because he can take the Truma Tahora with his hands, bring it to his Shulchan and eat it without being Metaltal the Tmeya. But the Braisa is talking about a case of Metaltal Tzorech Mekomo. He needs the space, and in such a case, he has to be Metaltal everything. In other words, we're not going to make any distinctions, as the Bryce already indicates, from, you know, one case, one distinguish between one case where the Truma is here, the Truma is there, it's on top, it's on the bottom. Even in a case where the Truma Torah is on top, they could be matir, tiltal, as it says here in the Bryce, metaltal in Truma Tmei Matorah. And that applies even if the Truma Torah is on top. And the reason for that is because we're talking about Litzorech Mekomo. So the Gemara now wants to know, if we're talking about a case of Litzorech Mekomo, and Rav Chisda agrees that even if the Tahora is Lamala, you're allowed to be Metaltil the whole basket with the Tmeya. Is then, if that's what we learned from the Braisa, according to Rav Chisda, then my doche Rav Chisda. Why was Rav Chisda doche to interpret that Mishnah that we're talking about Dafka Shatmei Lamala? Why not go a simple way? Ukme Masnisen, let him interpret that Mishnah in a case of Metaltal Tzor Gufo. And if he needs the Guf Truma Tahora, then Halo Yuyachal Ahamid Bitzor Mekomo. And therefore, in every situation, no matter where the Truma is Munachas, Truma Torah, Truma Tmeya, he'd be allowed to move it. And Rav Chisda says, no, he's only allowed it because the Truma Tmeya is Lamala. Why not just say, in all cases, as we saw the Braisa, even if the Truma Torah is Lamala, he can still move this basket and be Metaltil the Truma Tmeya, Agav, the Truma Torah. But it's a case of Litzor Gufo. So why didn't Rav Chisda just interpret that Mishnah of Litzor Gufo, which is a normal case? Litzor Gufo is not some sort of weird ukimta. I mean, Litzor Gufo means that he wants to eat the Truma Tahora. Makes a lot of sense, no? Amar Rava, so Rava says, why did Rav Chisda say this? The Masnisen, the Kavase Daika, the Mishnah is Meduyak, is very meticulous and supports, if you read it carefully, Rav Chisda, that we're talking about a case of Litzara Kufo. The Ketani Sefer, it says in the Sefer of the Mishnah, Moos Munachoshe Alakar. We didn't get to this Mishnah yet, that's why it's new to us, but the Mishnah is going to tell us on Amid Beis that if you have coins that are sitting on top of a pillow, then you're not allowed to be metaltil the pillow with the coins on top of them, probably because of buses. But rather, Menaris HaKar, he shakes the pillow, Vehain and the Mos, Noflos Me'ol, Om Rabba, Bar Bachanam Rab Yochanan, Lo Shanu, this Mishnah doesn't apply, that you're not allowed to be metaltil the pillow when it has Mos on top of it, it's a Gufo. When he wants to be mishtamish with the kar, aval tzoch makomo, in other words, if he has to get rid of the kar because it's taking up, it's occupying space, and he needs to free up that space, then metaltalo v'odon olav, then he can metaltal the kar, this pillow, even while the mos are sitting on top of the kar. He doesn't have to shake them out and let the mos fall. And that's because it's Litzorech Makomo. And now, Mita Sefer, since the very next Mishnah is talking about a case of Litzorech Gufo, because again, just to review, the Sefer tells us that mos, you have to move the kar and shake it up so that the mos fall down. You can't just carry the mos on top of the kar, because it's a case of Litzorech Gufo. But had it been Litzorech Makomo, he would have allowed to just carry the kar with the mos on top of it. So the Sefer, which is Machmir and Asur's tilt of the kar, must be talking about a case of Litzorech Gufo. We mean a Sefer Litzorech Gufo, Reishanami Litzorech Gufo. We should assume that in this case where he's got Truma Tahora, he needs the Truma Tahora, and that's called Litzorech Gufo. So we have this symmetry between the Reish and the Sefer. Therefore, Rav Chisda has to tell you that the Truma is on top. Because if the Truma Tahora is on top, right? So what I meant to say was the Truma Tmeya is on top. If the Truma Tahora is on top, then you're not allowed to be metaltil the Tmeya Ima, but rather, since the Torah is on top, he's got to be no-till the Tahora and then leave the Tmeya in the basket. He's not allowed to carry the basket with the Tmeya. He has the option, and we're going to force him to avail himself of the option of taking the Tahora. So what was that question about the Mishnah? Why not just interpret the Mishnah as talking about a case of of Litzorech Makomo? In other words, again, our question was, what forced Reb Chisda's hand? What compelled him to assume that the Mishnah is talking about a case of Litzorech Gufo, and therefore he's limiting the heter of the Mishnah to the Truma Torah on top? He could have interpreted that the Mishnah is talking about a case of Litzorech Makomo, and as we just finished saying, in the case of the Litzorech Makomo, in all situations, no matter what's on top, what's on the bottom, Truma Tmeya, Truma Tahora, even in the case where the Truma Tahora is on the bottom, even in the case where the Truma Tahora is on top, you're allowed to move the whole Ganze basket, the whole Geschichte. Why? Because it's the Litzorech Makomo. So why not interpret the Mishnah without Ukimtas? This is on top, this is on the bottom. Just say it's the Litzorech Makomo. But the answer is, because Rav Chisda read the next Mishnah, which we call the Sefer this Mishnah, and he saw that the Sefer this Mishnah is definitely talking about Litzorech Gufo. So he didn't have the option of interpreting our Mishnah, which is the Reisha of the next Mishnah, as Litzorech Makomo. It's got to be Litzorech Gufo. Now the Mishnah tells us that Rav Yehuda holds Af Malim. So if you have a Meduma, you have a Tarobes, then what you could do is you could take out a saw of truma which fell into this mixture of saw shel chulin and be matir the chulin because of the principle of bittul 1 to 100. So Mar Yisrael Kashav Amai, Hakom Etakin, how are we allowing to do this? He's being matir all the peros for achilas zar. And whenever you do a tikkun, we're always afraid that he might do a malacha with a tikkun in it, so there should be a gzera here. So the Gemara answers Rabbi Yehuda, who allows you to do to make this calculation and be mevatel the truma, and just remove a sov from the mixture of 101, is Kidder Rabbi Eliezer Sfirulei. The Omar, truma, when truma gets mixed up with chulin, the eina machta, it's considered that munachas b'fnei atzmo eino mu'reves b'chulin. We don't see this as a real tarovis. It's not like, you know, you have lach b'yovesh or something like that. Here it's a case of yovesh b'yovesh, and we don't see it as a real tarovis. And therefore it's considered as if the trumas munachas b'fnei atzmo and eino mu'reves b'chulin. Again, we should try to find Rabbi Eliezer in some Mishnah, but before we get to the Mishnah in Trumos, let's just point out that the Gemara is going to analyze the logic here of Rabbi Eliezer, but we can, again, just as a Havamina, we can surmise that this is not a real Tarovis. We just don't know where the Truma is. And, you know, we now owe a saw's truma to the Kohen. We don't know where the saw truma is, so we remove a saw truma from this mixture. And that should not be tikkun. That's not called tikkun, according to Rabbi Eliezer, because it's not a tarovis. Tikkun only applies to a tarovis. The Stam, we learned in the Mishnah in Trumas, in the fifth parak, it says, saw truma shenafla lefachos mimea saw in chulin. So we have a ratio now of 1 truma to 99 chulin, and therefore nidma'u, as we have a tarovus which is called meduma, we don't know where the truma is, and then chazim enafu mina meduma, from this first mixture something falls l'makom acher into another mixture of chulin. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, that which fell from the first tarovus is medamas, and it generates an iser in the second tarovus. And it's considered like Trumas Demai. Which means that if in the second Taroves we don't have Mea Chulin Keneged Kulo, then the whole Taroves is Asura. V'chachom omrim Ein hanofil min hameduma min tamea. So that which fell from the first tarovus into the second does not generate an iser on the chulin as if it was truma. Ela lefi cheshbon. And here what we do is we go back to the original ratio between the truma that got mixed up with chulin. So for example, let's take a case where in the first tarovus we have a mixture, for example, I said 1 in 99. Let's take the following case. There was a tarovis of 1 saw of truma and shishim saw of chulin. So it's a ratio of 1 to 60. Okay? Now, 1 saw from that original tarovis of 1 to 60 gets mixed up with another, let's call it a basket of chulin. So we're not going to say that the saw is considered trumas vadai, because it was not batel in the first tarovis. And then if it was trumas vadai, and we had a saw of truma that mixed up with 60 in the first tarovis, we're going to need 100 sawin of chulin in the second tarovis. No. What we're going to do, say the Chachamim, lefi cheshbon, is 1 out of 60 of the first tarovis is considered truma. Which means that in the second Taroves, if you have chulin of 100 against 1/60th, then it's mutter. And it's basically like any truma that gets mixed up in 100 times the volume of chulin. So let's try to understand this machlokas. Rabbi Eliezer holds that if you have meduma, then it's considered like the truma is sitting on its own. It's not mixed up with the chulin. And therefore, when from the first taroves, it falls into the second one, we're afraid that it was the truma that fell into the first taroves that fell into the second taroves. And therefore, that truma, when it gets mixed up in the second taroves, has the status of trumas vada. You're going to need 100 against the entire truma. It's very similar to the svara of chaticha and nasis nevela, but here for a totally different reason. Anyway, the chachamim say that the truma is considered mixed up. It's not like Rabbi Elias, it's munachas, zebifneas or zebifneasmo. And therefore, whatever falls from the first tarovis to the second tarovis is a mixture of truma, but only according to the percentages, lefi cheshven ha-truma shebetarovis rishona. Now, our Mishnah holds that Rabbi Yehuda agrees with Rabbi Elias, so the truma that's mixed up is considered omedes munachas levado, it's a separate entity. And if there's chulin of mea, keneged the shear of truma, then basically we're going to consider as if he's just taking out the truma that's on the side, and the rest of the chulin is mutar lechatchila, he's not being metaken anything, and therefore he's allowed to take out a saw and consider it truma. We're going to say he takes the truma from that section. Again, there's a big jump here in the Gemara because, all right, you know, it's one thing to say that, you know, chaticha nas the vela in the first tarovis, meaning according to Rabbi Eliezer, it's not a tarovis because there's no real mixture over here. It's not blila, it's not bolul. But then to go ahead and say that according to Rabbi Eliezer, there's no tikkun here when he takes out a sov of chulin, because we're going to assume that the sov chulin that the saw that he took out is the truma that was sitting on the side. I mean, that's a gigantic jump. But in any event, right now, at least at this point of the Gemara, we're assuming that according to Rabbi Eliezer, when he takes out a saw and he assumes it's truma, he's not being metake in a tarovis because there ain't no tarovis. He's just taking out that truma that's munachas b'tzida. So the Gemara rejects this interdependence between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Eliezer. Amar de Shamatle. Where do we find that Rabbi Eliezer considers the truma as if it's munachas b'fnei atzma? That's lechumra. Right? That's only to say that nasis nevela, that you know, in the second tarovis, you're going to have to be mevatel a full saw's worth of truma. But lekula, to say that it's not considered a tikkun mishamatle. So therefore, the Gemara wants to now reinterpret Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah by introducing Rabbi Shimon. Ella who, but rather Rabbi Yehuda, who allows you to take out the sov truma from this mixture. The Omer, he holds like Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Shimon says that even Lekula, we're going to judge the truma and the taroves as if it's munachas b'fnei atzma. And we're taking Rabbi Eliezer one step further. Rabbi Eliezer said only lechumra, right? The Hanan kind of svar. But now we're talking about taking it even lekula, that it's munachas b'fnei atzma. That's how Rabbi Shimon goes way beyond Rabbi Eliezer. And let's see how Rabbi Shimon said this. The Kiddushin, we learned in the Mishnah in Trumos, saw Truma Shenafla Lemea. So you have 100 Se'in of Chulin, and we have a mixture now of one saw of Truma. So we said that he takes out one saw from this Tarovus and everything else is Mutal Lazar, it's Chulin. For though Hispik Lagbia, he didn't get a chance to take out that saw, too bad, Had Shenafla, until this Tarovus fell into another tarovis, and the second tarovis now is truma. Hachenafla tarovis zu od sa acheres shel truma. So again, it's not exactly that the first Tarovus fell, or part of it, into a second Tarovus, but that a second volume of Truma fell in to the first mixture. And even though in the first mixture he had the shear of Bittel, he had 100 Sav Chulin Keneged the Sav Truma. Yeah, but now he has another Sav Truma. So he's got two Sain in this Machlokas, in this Tarovis. Is a quite Tanakama, Harezu Asura. That's intuitive. Because if you add the, this is what we call Chos Vidir, if you add the additional Saw of Truma that fell into this mixture to the saw that was there in the first mixture, you have two saw, and all you have is 100 saw of Chulin. Oh, Rabbi Shimon Matir. Whoa. Rabbi Shimon says that it's mutter. So again, the Tanakam we understand. The Truma is mixed up in the first Taroves, I mean before the second saw fell in, with the Chulin. And everything is all murevis. Now, a saw, an additional saw of truma is mitztaref into this whole mixture. And now we no longer have mea chulin against the truma. Now we have two saw of truma and mea chulin. That's a ratio of 1 to 50, not 1 to 100. Rabbi Shimon holds, on the other hand, that the truma in the first, sequence fell into this mixture and it's considered munachas bifnei atzma. And now the chulin is considered munach bifnei atzma. So when the second saw falls into this taroves, it now becomes batel in the mea chulin, because the mea chulin remains mea chulin. Whereas the Rabbana and the Tanakama held that, what do you mean it's mea chulin? That mea chulin now is, so to speak, infected, it was mixed up with a sav truma. So you can't deny the fact that there's a sav truma in this chulin, whereas Rav Shimon is going to say, no, there's no sav truma in the chulin, because the sav is considered munachas bifnei atzma. And therefore, when the second sav falls in, according to Rav Shimon, there will be bittel. It's not going to be mitztaref with the sav truma. It's going to be, so to speak, confronted with a head-on collision with the mea saw of chulin, and therefore the tarovus is mutal zarin. Again, he has to take off the sheer truma. Maybe he'll have to take off, in this case, two se'in. But you see clearly that Rav Shimon applies this principle of munachas b'fnei atzma even l'kula, and if that be the case, we can begin to understand Rabbi Yehuda, that by taking out on Shabbos this saw keneged the saw truma that fell in, he's not being mitaken, he's just taking out that which is on the saw. There's no tarovus. So Gemara rejects this as well. Umimai, how do you know that the reasoning of Rabbi Shimon is the way you said it until now, that the truma is munachas b'fnei atzma, the chulin b'fnei atzma, dilma, perhaps that, no, the case of the Mishnah of Rav Shimon is what, they're arguing about a different machlok, Tanakama Rav Shimon. Tanakama, who says it's also when the second saw falls in Savar, afal gav did naflu b'zecher zeh, even though each saw fell one after the other in sequence, but not simultaneously, command enough of asachas, so we consider it as if both se'in fell simultaneously. And now let's check out the ratios. V'ha, the first saw, is l'chamshin. Noflet fell into 50. V'ha, and the second saw into 50. And the Tanakhama therefore is going to say that since it's considered b'zecher zeh, right, then there is no possibility of bittel. I just want to get the numbers again. What is he saying? It's as if, what does he mean? Kiman denoflas achas v'ho lechamshin Nafla v'holacham shin nafla. Well, let's backtrack from Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon is matir. He says, Sovar kamaisa, the first saw is batul b'meya. In other words, we're not going to combine these two sequences and synchronize them as if they happen simultaneously. But rather, we're going to see a sequence here. And let's start with Roman numeral number one, T1, as we'll call it, time one. So now, time one, all you have is a saw of Truma that fell into Mea saw. At this point, we're going to apply the principle of Bittel. Veha, now the second saw falls into this Tarovus, and it's again Tibatul b'meya v'chad. Now we have 101 because the original saw was batel. It's almost as if Isur Nefach Lios Heter. In other words, the Truma that fell in on the first round, since it was batel b'meya, according to Reb Shimon, it becomes chulin. And the paradox is now we can be mitzarif that, you know, that saw of Truma to be batel the Truma that fell in afterwards. And therefore the whole Gansa Tarovus is Mutalizar. So now we can go back to the Tanakama. Tanakama holds, no. It's considered as if it all fell Bivas Achas. So if it all fell, you have two Se'in of Truman that are falling into Mea Se'in of Chulin. If you see it all as Bivas Achas, Kemand Nofel Bivas Achas Nomi, so then the ratio is 1 to 50. So it comes out now, according to this reinterpretation of Rav Shimon, Rav Shimon is not being matir simply because the Truma is some sort of a separate entity. It's munachas bifnei atzma. And even Rav Shimon, let's say according to Rav Shimon, it's eino muteres ad sheyala bimenu kishir Truma shenifsala. And even Rav Shimon would agree that this is considered a tikkun, because again, even though Rav Shimon is going to apply bittul, but that's conditional upon removing a certain shear which parallels the amount of truma that fell into this mixture, and that's an act of tikkun, because Adarav, Rav Shimon is holding that there really is a full-fledged tarovus. He's applying bittul on the first round. So now we again go back to the scoreboard, back to square one. We have to interpret Rabbi Yehuda. Elahu, but rather Rabbi Yehuda was matir to take out a saw of truma, take out a saw for this tarovus and call truma, and it's not considered metakein. The Omer he holds, ki Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. The Sanya we learned in a Vraisa, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, we're talking about a mixture of truma in Me'achulin and in this case, the tarovus is asur lazar until again you take out whatever volume of truma fell in. And yet, Rav Shimon Elazar says, "No sinei v'tzad zev yochem mitzad acher." Even if he hasn't yet removed the shear of truma from this tarovus, nevertheless, he could look ki'ilu mitzad zev, and he could decide that on this side, that's where the truma is going to be. And then looks on this side of the Tarovus and he says, you know, that side is chulin. So even though he hasn't removed the truma from this mixture physically, but nevertheless, this is enough to activate the din of the heter of the Tarovus by taking out the truma from the mixture, and it's enough that no sin ain't besides zeh. If that be the case, then when he removes the truma, in our case of Shabbos, I don't mean the truma itself, because he doesn't know where the truma is, but I mean to say the volume equivalent to the truma, that's not a metakin, because even had he not removed the truma, all he had to do is put his nesina seinai and put his eye on that section over there and say, well, that's where I'm going to take out the truma, that's enough to be matir the tarovus, and the balance becomes mutter. And therefore, if he took it a step further, and instead of relying on no sein einov, he actually did a hafrasha, and he took out what he needs to take out. So that itself is considered not a metakin, because when he takes it out, he really didn't have to take it out. He could just could have put his eye on it. So now, we're interpreting Rabbi Yehuda like Rabbi Shimon Elazar. And the question is, we found that Rabbi Shimon Elazar argues against Rabbi Yehuda about this very point. So something's wrong in our calculation. Says Gemara, Umi Savra Lo Kavase, is it really so that Rabbi Shimon Elazar holds like Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore he would allow you to take out the Saw Truma? Again, when I say Truma, what I mean is connected the Saw Truma on Shabbos, and it's not called Mitaken. Now we turn to Kufman Beis, Amid Beis, on Maflik Polik Hale. Actually, we have a brisa that records that Rabbi Shimon Elazar argues against Rabbi Yehuda. You can't put together Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon Elazar, because Rabbi Shimon Elazar, in fact, rejects Rabbi Yehuda. And that's in a brisa. The brisa says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Malin Es HaMeduma. In other words, on Shabbos, you're allowed to take from this Tarovitz the shear of Truma that got mixed up. B'echad B'meya. And Rav Shimon Elazar Omer, no saying Eino B'tzad Zev Yochum B'tzad Acher. That the only solution on Shabbos to allow him to eat from this mixture is the no saying Eino solution. That he decides that he's being miyached these peros for Truma and these peros are for Chulin. And that's the decision he made in his mind. He's allowed to eat from those fruits that he designated for chulin. So it's his machshava that's matter this taroves, even though he didn't take out anything from the mixture. So if he didn't take out anything from the mixture on Shabbos, he could be matter through nesinas einayim. And if that be the case, then we're not going to allow the method of Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda's method was to actually take from this taroves kishir truma in his hands and directly remove it. Well, that's not what Rabbi Shimon is going to allow you to do. You first have to be matir the taroves and take from the other side, but you can't just dig your hands into this whole taroves and take out the shir keneged ha truma. So if Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar himself rejects Rabbi Yehuda, then you cannot say that Rabbi Yehuda would derive his conclusion about Mutal Halas B'Shabbos from Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. I mean, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar is the last one to allow for that heter. So once again, we have to know why Rabbi Yehuda is not worried about Mitaken. So the Gemara answers, the Rabbi Yehuda Adifa, me the Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. As Rabbi Yehuda is adding on to Rabbi Shimon Elazar l'hakel, he holds like the shita of Rabbi Shimon Elazar that no sin ein of itzadzeh would be enough to be matir the tarovus. But he's going a step further that you don't even have to do that. You don't even have to be no sin ein of itzadzeh. You can actually be mala, just take off the shir keneged truma, and it's not called mitaken, because again, he could have done it without that, so it's not the chshivas of mitaken, as we explained earlier. And he just disagrees with Rav Shimon Elazar on that one point. Rav Shimon Elazar says that since he has the option to know senei b'tzadzeh, stop. That's a full stop. We're not going to allow him to go beyond that. Whereas Rav Yehuda went a step further, and he determined that since the option of Rav Shimon Elazar exists of no sein eino, therefore it's not called mitaken, and he could actually directly take out the truma, the shear of truma from this tarovis, and then he could eat all the balance. He doesn't have to be no sein eino besides. So that leads us to the Mishnah, which is five lines down from the top of Kuf Mem Beis Amid Beis, which Amir Hashem will pick up tomorrow.